Welcome to our Sunday morning service. And yeah, we've come to the time in the service where we're going to be hearing God's word. Amen. And as you can see, our topic that we're going to be discussing is together. Now, I'm glad there's some water here. In preparation for my sermon, this morning I had some time with my youngest son. He's going to be 12 years old on Saturday. And we were sitting in the car, we had our time together, I'm taking him to McDonald's, and then I said, asked him, is it okay if I go through my sermon with you? And he said, sure, Dad. And as I was talking and talking, he said, Dad, just make sure there's water, because I see you speak very fast, and your lips are getting dry. So he said, in fact, on my notes, he said, okay, Dad, write there with pencil, water. So on my notes here, I've got drink water. So I'll be stopping for a few seconds to drink water, as my son recommended. Amen. So let me start off, because he says, please have a sip before you start. So I'm having a sip of water. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're busy with a series entitled Together. For those of you who haven't been here for the last week or 2 weeks, we started the sermon series 2 weeks ago with James Lapperman, and then last week Mark built on the second part, and this is the third part of what's going to be a five-part series. Amen. So just to give a quick recap as to where we're at and what James and Mark shared, 2 weeks ago James started off and introduced the topic. And he went through, I don't know if those of you are here, I don't know if you remember, he went through various scriptures in Acts. And he pulled out all the scriptures where the word together was used. And how the disciples back in the book of Acts got together. They ate together. They prayed together. They basically did everything together. Amen. And then I think the 3 points that he spoke about was the fact that the first one was that we need to have a mind shift change. Being together or wanting to be together requires a mind shift change. And it also requires, secondly, a rescheduling or recasting of our schedule. So making time for us to be together. And then the final challenge he left with us was just do it. So I hope you guys have just done it in your family groups. Amen. And then last week, Mark built on that and he pointed out that the whole togetherness as disciples is actually something that God wants from us and implemented. It was always God's plan for us to be together. And then he also spoke about the fact that to make together work, it requires giving and taking, not just taking and taking and taking. Amen. So what I want to do this morning is, they were speaking about the church in general. What I'd like to do this morning is zoom it in from the church to our family groups. What does it look like to be a together family group? What does it look like to have a thriving, spiritually healthy family group? And that's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. But before we continue, let me pray. Let's close our eyes. Father, we are so grateful that you haven't called us to be an island. It was always your plan for us to do this together, to live the spiritual life together, to encourage one another and to spur one another on, Father. I want to ask this morning, Lord, that as we look into your scriptures, that your word would speak to us and encourage us, Father God, as it always does. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I get to my key scripture, I had some time just chatting to James about this message and just to get his viewpoint on what I want to be sharing today. And he said something that's very profound. And in fact, the quote should come up on the screen now. When he, because we were speaking about our church in terms of small groups or family groups, he says, the thing about our church is, we are a church of small groups and not a church with small groups. Takes a bit of thinking. So what does it mean? So we are not a church with small groups all over the city. We are actually a church of small groups. So the small groups actually make up who we are as a church. It's the DNA of who we are as a church. And I thought about that in preparation for today's message. I thought about when my wife and I joined the church or came to the church the very first time. It was almost 9 years ago. And I remember that. I remember the church corporately. I remember feeling welcomed in the church corporately. But more, I remember the family groups. I remember we were in Donnie and Nelly's small group. I even remember when Caleb was 4 years old at the time. We celebrated Caleb's 4th birthday as part of our small group. So there was no, that Wednesday there was no small group. Caleb's 4th birthday was the small group. And everybody was there and we ate together. And it reminded me a lot of the book of Acts, which was so special. And I also remember the number of brides that we had. I mean, Carden and I were here. Just for those of you who don't know, we found the church through Google. So we weren't invited to the church. We knew absolutely nobody. We came in here cold, as in we knew nobody, nervous, and we sat down. And the church immediately made us feel warm. But I remember, I think it was week two or week three, we were invited to a braai by people we don't know. And we were a bit skeptical, I remember, at the time. But we thought, let's go. And Roger and Lynn invited us to a braai. I don't know if we had poiki or braai that time, but I know we've been to their place a few times. I highly recommend Roger's braai. He does a decent job. But I remember it. I remember the group that was there. I remember the conversations. I remember the relationships built. I remember also in the first month, at that time, Devette and Chantal were living in Milnerton. And they invited us to their place. And again, we didn't know anybody. But it was those small groups that actually kept us here. And that's a big part of the reason why we are at this church today. So if you want to see today's message, see it rather as a refresher for us. Because I do think that this is who we are, that we can build on, rather than a new message. Because I believe with all my heart that this church is a church that has family groups that are warm and thriving. Amen. All right, let's turn to our main or key scripture for today. And that's out of Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 18. There's quite a lot in here, so I'm going to read it very slowly. It says here, Alistair, please drink your water, so I'm going to have a sip of water. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If any of you are feeling tired and you feel like giving up, I want to encourage you with a scripture. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, like Roger and Lynn did. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Amen. Now, again, if I must take that scripture and list out all those do's and don'ts and stuff, we'll probably have about 13, 14 points there. And I can say, there's the 13 points. Go church, go do that. And I'm sure we'll come back and we'll have thriving family groups. Amen. But I thought to myself, let's see if we can summarize this up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it into three different categories. We'll be referring to the scripture throughout the service. But there's going to be three main points just to summarize the big points within that particular portion of scripture. But before we do that, just to give you some context as far as this particular portion of Romans is concerned. And I'll just take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, this is Paul speaking. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters. So the first important thing is he's urging us. He's not asking us. He's urging. There's a certain urgency in the word urge, right? And he's speaking to brothers and sisters. He's speaking to us. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, I've read that scripture so many times, and I'm sure you have heard it so many times as well. But there's a portion there that I always overlook. It's that in view of God's mercy, I know that I've got to offer my body as a living sacrifice. But what's that in view of God's mercy? Why is that there? What Paul is actually saying is, he's saying that yes, we need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, but it needs to be in response of God's mercy. The mercy he's shown us, the grace that he's shown us by saving us and by keeping us alive and by giving us a hope. And what I would like to do from the onset before we go into the message is just to urge you, don't do what he's asking here, what's written here, because Alice is saying so, because Paul is urging you, but do it in view of God's mercy. Let that be your motivation for wanting to be a thriving family group. Because I believe if you're going to do it to tick the box, it's not going to last very long. But if your motivation is God himself and his mercy on your life, then it'll be something that will go on for a longer time. Amen. Romans 12 verse 9 says, love must be sincere. That's the first portion we read about. Love must be sincere. What does that mean? What does love must be sincere? Four words, but I think there's so much in that word. So what I want to do, like I mentioned earlier on, is just to break that up into three different sections. And the first point that I want to make this morning is that if we want to be a thriving, spiritually healthy family group, we need to show sincere interest in one another. I put the word sincere in there for a reason. It's like love that must be sincere. Showing interest in one another is one thing, but showing sincere interest in one another, that's taking it to a whole new level. Amen. One of the verses we read was verse 15 in Romans 12, which says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's exactly what it's about. It's showing interest in one another. It's celebrating other people's successes, and it's also being there for people who are sad, who are going through a difficult time. Amen. And I know that last year we had quite a few funerals. People lost parents. People lost spouses. And you know what was so encouraging for me? I tried to be at every single one of those funerals. It was always amazing to see how many of the disciples were there. One of the funerals, in fact, had more disciples in the funeral than actual family for that particular person, which was super encouraging. That's why I say, I believe with all my heart that this church has this. This is who we are as a church. Amen. And then celebrate people's successes. It's being there. When it's the birthday party for Caleb, the small group were there. They were supporting him on his fourth birthday. Some time back, I watched one of these tele-evangelists, you know, these preachers on the TV. Yep. I won't mention his name. But he said, if you want to know if somebody is genuinely concerned for you or if their interest is pure for you, you know what you do? You go and rent a car. But not any car. Top of the range Mercedes-Benz. If you can't afford it, a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something like that. And you call this brother or sister up and say, listen, God has blessed me. Again, you can imagine from which church it is, but he says, God has blessed me. And I got this new job and I got this new car allowance and I want you to celebrate this with me. And then what you do is you get in your car and you say to the guy, I'm coming through to pick you up now. And you get in your car, you stop there and then you hoot in front of his house. And then as he comes out, look at the facial expression. That immediate facial expression. You'll see whether this person is genuinely happy for you or jealous. Immediately. The person who's genuinely happy for you will be smiling, running to the car. Let's go! Hug you and let's go. The other person was, oh, that's nice. I'm so happy for you. God's good to you, eh? Why is God not good to me? Amen. But obviously, as a church, we don't do that. We genuinely celebrate with one another. Amen. I can't speak about sincere love without referencing 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because, I mean, that is the chapter of love. So sincere love and sincere interest requires us, like it says there, love should be, and you don't have to turn there, it won't come up on the screen, but I'm just going to point out some things. I know you know the scripture. Love is patient, so we need to be patient with one another. Sincere love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy or boast. It does not dishonor others. And the two that I sometimes struggle with is it's not self-seeking. Sincere love, sincere concern for another is not self-seeking, and it keeps no record of wrong. So it doesn't only forgive, it forgets as well. Amen. So just to summarize the first point, so if we want to have thriving family groups, together family groups, we need to celebrate each other's successes, genuinely and sincerely. We need to support each other through the difficult times. We need to be patient with one another during the times when we are going through affliction. And then also we need to forgive one another, forgive and forget and move on. Amen. Which brings us to our second point. Again, to have thriving family groups, we need to be devoted to one another. Verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in love. You see, there's that love aspect to it as well. And the word devoted, the first, when I Googled devoted meaning, the first definition that came up is, in fact, devoted is giving all or most of one's time or resources. That's heavy. Giving all, I'm so glad the dictionary didn't stop there, or most of our time and resources towards something. So obviously in this particular context, it means to, if you're devoted to something, that's where your time and your resources are going to be spent, right? And again, what does that mean for us as a family group? I know that we're moving towards getting together once a week, which is great. But I want to say that might be the bare minimum. If you want to have a thriving family group, it's going to mean, yes, meeting once a week, but also being there when it's somebody's birthday party, supporting people when they're going through difficult times in our family groups. It's going to mean getting together more than once a week, most weeks. And then our resources as well. I mean, again, if you look to verse 13, it actually shares a little bit about this resources. It says in verse 13, share with those in need. So if somebody's in need, you share with them. Practice hospitality. That's another way that we can share our resources. It's not opening up our home to people, but opening up our hearts to people. There's a very big difference. The one is ticking the box and saying, you can use my house. But opening up your home, your heart to the person means, you know, anytime, come to my place, I'll be there for you. That's what a thriving family group looks like. Now again, I know that can sound overwhelming. All my resources, most of my resources, what about the resources I need for work, for my own family? Amen. But I want to encourage the church to say that I'm going to keep referring to this because I do think we have this. Last week, we had this barometer thing with the numbers running, showing what our special offering was. And it was just under R1 million. That's sharing our resources. That's over and above our tithes. Looking at the small group of people to raise R1 million over and above that, that's sharing our resources. That's commendable. Now, if you were anything like me, and you saw we were R70,000 short, I was thinking, don't I have R70,000 somewhere that I can just close that gap? Can't we still have another month so we can find that R70,000 just to close the R1 million gap? But I believe that's the heart of most of the people sitting here this morning. Amen. So we have got it within us. With regards to time, again, I sat and I thought, this church is actually quite good with that. Towards the end of last year, we had the spiritual boot camp. Do you guys remember that? Which ran over a few months. And we had various preachers coming in and going out. And I remember I was at every single one of those things. And I remember how many other people were there as well. We had one session that was a Saturday session from 9 till 12 o'clock. Then the Sunday we were here first again for the service. And then after the service we had literally half an hour break. And we were back for the second session on that Sunday. And there were so many people here, which was super encouraging. So what I'm saying is, church, let us build on what we already have here and take it to the next level. Amen. You guys still with me?
Yep.
Yeah, which leads us to my third and final point. Now, I'm going through it quite quickly. I don't know how much time I've got left, but yeah, if we leave early, we leave early. Amen. Someone said, I think it was James Lapperman that said in the week, he says, you want to be a preacher that everybody loves? You finish off early. Embracing one another, my third and final point today. Now, before you guys think I'm saying we need to be hugging each other all the time, the embracing I'm referring to here, and the definition will come up, is to accept a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically.
Amen.
Amen. So embracing goes beyond just accepting one another. It's accepting, yes, but willingly. In other words, no one's forcing you to do it, but also enthusiastically. Now, one of the other things I love about this church is the fact that we're a multicultural, multilingual, multi-everything church. We all have different backgrounds. We've got different points of view. We've got different opinions and stuff like that. Amen. But we need to embrace each other. We need to embrace those differences. And again, I believe we've got this. We just need to keep building on that. Romans 12:10, one of the other verses we read was, honor one another above yourself. Which ties in with the whole embracing concept. It's respecting one another's opinion. I know this might sound strange to you, but your opinion is not always the right opinion. I want to say to those who are married, you know what I'm talking about. Your opinion is not always the right opinion. It says drink here, so just give me a second. Amen. And it also means focusing on other people's needs.
Amen.
What do they need? Putting their needs above yourself. That's what honoring one another above yourself is. And then another verse that ties in with the whole embracing of one another is verse 16 of Romans 12, which says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So in other words, if you didn't catch the first part, let me put it to you in four words. Do not be conceited. Don't think that you're better than anybody else. Because you know what? The truth is, God sees us all the same. To God, it's not important how much money you earn, where you work, where you stay. That's not important. It's this that's important to Him. And He wants us to have the same heart. It's to accept everybody, irrespective of their background, irrespective of their financial situations and stuff like that. That's what it means to embrace one another, associating with all. And it also means, when we are in our family groups, not judging each other. But when someone shares their heart, it's sitting there and creating an environment for them to share without any judgment. And again, that's one of the reasons I'm at this church. It's because I believe we've got that. We just need to build on that as well. Amen. Then the other one, other verse that I read that scared me a little bit was verse 16 that says, live in harmony with one another. I thought, whoa, okay. Does that mean that everyone will feel loved all the time? No. Does that mean that everyone's going to feel supported all the time? No. Think of your biological family. Do you guys always get along in your family? No. There's differences of opinion. There's going to be times when you're going to have conversations, and there's going to be times when you're going to have to compromise, which is exactly what's required of us as a family group as well. And I know that some people need very little support to feel loved. Some people carry tanks on their back with holes at the bottom. And you pour support, and you pour support, but it keeps running out. You still don't feel loved. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, but Alistair, you know what? It's amazing that you celebrated your child's fourth birthday as a family group. That never happened to me. What about my family? Is my family not important? You just pour support. You pour support. Amen. But again, when I read that, I thought, okay, Paul, live in harmony with one another. But thank God he continues and he finishes, well, the last verse we read in verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, again, I thought, okay, thank you, Paul. You didn't say live at peace with everyone because that will be difficult. But look at the two sections before that. It says, if it is possible, firstly, and then as far as it depends on you. And I want the emphasis to be on the depends on you. You can only live at peace with everyone if you want to live at peace with everyone. It depends on you. I'm not saying that. The scriptures are saying that. And if you're going to keep looking at what other people are not doing for me, you're never going to be happy. You have to look at what you can do for other people and how you can be devoted to other people, how you can sincerely share and love other people, and how you can embrace other people. And once you start doing that, and it goes actually further, we'll read the next verse. Verse 19 says, it continues to say, do not take revenge, my dear brothers, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's not mine to avenge. I will repay. Sorry, but let me read that again. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is not mine to avenge. It is mine to avenge. This is not God speaking, obviously. I will repay. It's not Alistair's. It's God to avenge, says the Lord. And then it goes further to say, if your enemy is hungry, in this case, the person you're having a disagreement is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap coals, burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. So in other words, if there's a disagreement somewhere, don't treat the person the same way. Love the person. Be devoted to the person. Show love to the person. I think another verse, it won't come up on the screen, but just I'll read it to you, which sort of summarizes this whole point, is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says there that, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. There he is again. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So if we strive for full restoration, and here I'm talking about where there's a difference of opinion that you're struggling with. And again, we're not a perfect family. As good as we have it as a church here, we're not a perfect family. There's always going to be differences. But we are encouraged to strive for restoration, for full restoration. And we need to encourage one another. And if we do that, then the God of love and peace will be with us as well. Last week I sat here and Mark was ministering, I saw the logo, the Together logo, that logo that's on the screen there. And I thought a little bit about it. What an awesome example of what embracing is. I asked myself the question, why, Sarin, why didn't you make the one hand green and the one hand blue and the one hand yellow and the one hand orange? And I thought about that. I thought, that actually describes accepting. It's me coming with what I am as a person and saying, let's do this, let's work together for this cause. Which is not embracing, that's accepting. Embracing is, I am no longer me, but I'm a bit of you, a bit of you. I've taken your culture upon myself, taken God's culture as my main culture, and I've based myself around that. So that is us, sharing one another's cultures, putting our hands together and saying, I'm not just accepting you, I'm embracing you. Amen. Yeah, so just to summarize, the third point is, if you want to have thriving family groups this year, we need to accommodate one another. And and learn to embrace the differences between ourselves. And then also to create a space where people can feel free to share what's on their heart without being judged. Amen. And then to talk through our differences and to strive for full restoration. If there is an issue between two people, sort it out. Let's strive for full restoration. So I just want to conclude with one last scripture, which sort of ties it all together. Hebrews 10 verse 24, it should come up on the screen. Let us think of ways, I like this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Instead of thinking of ways of how to get brothers and sisters back, let's think of ways of how we can motivate each other to love and good works. And I think the perfect example is what happened last week. So 2 weeks ago, Maura came to me and she said to me, Alistair, James and I have been chatting. And we've realized that there's so many parents of Valkenwood students in our church. So in this church, there's a lot of parents whose kids attend Valkenwood Primary. Can't we form some form of group and maybe meet at the school, pray at the school, and then pray for our kids? Pray for their friends, pray for their parents, pray for the teachers. And I thought, what an awesome idea. No, I'm in. And she said, no problem, we'll set up a group, a WhatsApp group, and we'll liaise via that. I thought, this sounds like an awesome idea. And I was busy working through this sermon series. I thought, this is together. And then the WhatsApp came through. Okay, how about this Sunday between 5 and 6 o'clock? Okay, I've got Surgeon Friday, I've got this, on a Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock, that's my family time. Can you guys relate to what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I thought, no, that's not together. That's not taking my time and resources towards furthering God's kingdom. And I said, yes, I'll be there. And we had our time last week and Sunday. I was there, I think I was there for 45 minutes or so. But it was, what an awesome time. And in fact, that's the group that got together last week and Sunday. Quite a few parents there. I think there's about 13, 14 of us, and then 13, 14 kids as well. And we broke up into groups of three. We took a walk around the field, and we prayed, and it was really amazing. And in fact, we're doing it again this afternoon. Now, for those of you who are thinking, whoo, every week, the idea is to have it once a month. But because this is a new month, we're going to start it all fresh. I don't know how it's going to work, but anyway, we're getting together tonight again as well. But again, that's exactly what the scripture is saying. Maura and James, they were thinking of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and acts of good works, which is exactly what being together as a family group should look like. Amen. Let's close off in prayer. Father, I once again want to thank you for leading me and my family to this church, God. There's so much love here. There's so much embracing here in this church, Father God, and I'm so grateful for that, Lord. My prayer this morning is, Lord, that we would build on that, God, and not forget that, Father. Not forget that you have blessed us with this strength, Father. That we would reach out to one another in the church, but also reach out to others, God. Let our love be evident out there, Father God, whether it be at Valkenwood Primary or any other primary school, wherever we find ourselves, Lord. Lord, that we would show your love, Father God, and that we'll be devoted to one another as a family group as well. I pray that our family groups would be thriving, and that, Lord, it will be filled with you, Father God, as we head into 2019. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.